What is growth hacking? And is it possible you know someone who's a growth hacker, but you didn't know it? Well, we just spent time with Justin Wu, blockchain evangelist and growth hacker with CoinCircle.com, and you're going to dig it. Should you have a different email address for each crypto account? We're going to discuss that and whatever else pops into our minds in this highly anticipated episode number 68 of the Bad Crypto Podcast. You know why this episode was so highly anticipated, don't you, Travis?
Hey, you know, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, I didn't realize our episodes were highly anticipated.
Well, this one just was because I was waiting for you to get back so we could record. So I was I was anticipating it. And
nobody I'm ready to go. That is hilarious to me.
They didn't know that I was waiting, but I was anticipating it. And now you're here and our listeners are here.
That's great.
So welcome to the Bad Crypto Podcast, and we are well into the new year. And by well into, I mean it is now, you know, the first week of the new year, and I haven't broken any of my resolutions yet, Travis, mostly because I haven't made any.
Well, that's good. Congratulations.
I'm batting 1,000.
That is impressive. On resolutions. It is very impressive. No one is better at you at things.
I resolved to not go to the gym, and so far I'm very successful at this.
That's so great. What about walks with Joel? Have you had any walks with Joel yet this year?
I had a great walk on the beach, and I'm back. I'm back, man, from Jamaica. Good time. Toes in the what is it? The song "Toes in the Water, Ass in the Sand."
Yeah.
It is the show for the crypto curious and the crypto serious, and
the crypto furious.
I'm a little crypto furious.
Oh, by the way, I know who that is now.
Mm-hmm.
He revealed his identity.
He's done that a couple of times ago. I knew who it was. I think I had chatted with him, but
we're not gonna reveal. As far as all y'all know, he is crypto furious.
Dervis.
And he will be back. He will be back.
He will be back.
Because once you go bad, you always go back to.
It still does not work. We got to work on that one. That is just not flowing.
Maybe somebody else has a good tagline for us. Anyhow, thanks for listening. And we got a great show ahead for you right now. And let's go ahead and jump into the questions.
Bad crypto voicemail. You have one new message.
Hey, Joel and Travis. My name is Tim Baldwin from Pennsylvania. I'm still binging and listening to the episode where Travis got hacked. I'm still trying to catch up here, but my question is related to creating accounts with wallets and exchanges. This might be overkill, but should you use a different email address for each exchange/wallet you sign up for? Or as long as your email account has the 2FA capability, you should be clear. Thanks, and stay bad.
Hey, Travis, remember when you got hacked? Wait, which time was this that you lost your cryptos?
It was the seventh time. Number 13.
We do need to share that you got hosed again. Do you want to share that incident?
What's that, share?
Ether Delta?
I share right now? Actually, I ended up not getting hosed, but I don't know, about a week or so ago, I was on Ether Delta and I was buying some Dragon Chain coin, and I put my money in. I put 9 Ether in, Joel, to get some of this, and then it looked like it went in, and then I refreshed the page, and then boom, MetaMask popped up a thing that said Ether Delta had been hacked and it was a phishing attempt or something. So it took like 36 hours later, I finally found out that my crypto was still in there on my account and I didn't lose anything.
Oh, what?
But it was crazy.
You didn't get hosed.
Did not get hosed. My luck is turning, Mr. Joelcom. My luck is turning. Woo-hoo-hoo.
You had a near hosing experience. NHE.
Yeah. Almost hosed.
Well, I'm nearly hosed. I think you should put that on the list.
My album, because that's the name of my next album, Almost Hosed. I don't have any albums before that, so I said that would still be my first one.
It did cause a bit of a fright, but I'm glad to hear that your 9 Ether was safe there. Yeah. So anyway, to Tim's question, what do you think of this? A different email address for every exchange?
I think this, so it depends. I don't know if that's necessary, but I know on Coinbase, there's like 2 email addresses. Like if you put something on the vault in Coinbase, you have to, then they'll send you 2 emails, 1 to each email, and you have to be able to go in and verify each one of those. That seems pretty secure, right? But, I don't use my main email address for my Coinbase account. So that way, if I got hacked, people aren't going to be able to easily figure out which one it is. It's not even a public one, I don't think, actually, on that account. So, I think maybe just be crafty. If you have one where you have all your newsletters that you sign up for and it's your basic spam Gmail, that's probably not the same one. Like if somebody can Google your name and get your email, probably not a good idea to use that one for all your cryptos.
Right. I use a email that is not connected to my primary accounts. Nobody would ever guess what the email is that I have connected to my accounts. And to make it even better, it's a secure encrypted email server. So it's just one extra step you can take to lock down your cryptos and make sure you are all secure so you don't get nearly hosed like Mr. Travis Wright.
Yeah, quit picking on me, crypto guys.
Hey guys, this is Carol from Scotland. You're listening to the Bad Crypto Podcast. Stay bad.
And welcome to the feature segment of the Bad Crypto Podcast. I'm Roger Mudd.
Remember Roger?
I don't. Who's Roger Mudd?
Roger was one of the network news anchormen for many, many years. He was very serious.
Oh, okay. Okay. Not as popular as like Walter Cronkite or any of those guys, right? But like
Roger Mudd was pretty popular, but no, Walter was like the daddy of, anchor desks, right?
Good evening, I'm Walter Cronkite.
And not as popular as I'm Chevy Chase and you're not.
That's good. I like Chevy Chase. I know who Chevy Chase is.
Do you know who Justin Wu is? That's the question.
Definitely, Mr. Justin Wu. He is killing it in the growth hacking space, and he is has turned his services towards the world of the cryptos recently.
Yep, he's the head of growth at CoinCircle.com, and what they do is they seek to tokenize the world by taking existing companies that are doing something and blockchaining them right into a decentralized token economy. One of the clients of CoinCircle was the Unicoin, UNIKOIN, and he is the founder of Growth.ly. Justin does Snapchats about hacking entrepreneurship, and he's done some work with Wall Street Journal, with the Consumer Electronics Show, and so forth. And we had the opportunity to have a sit down with Mr. Wu and talk about all kinds of cool things. I love when leaders in the space stop by to say, "Hey, Bad Crypto, what up, dudes?" And that is exactly what's happened. Only he didn't really say it like that, but I imagined in my mind that it would have been Travis.
He's a surfer dude, and he's all like, "Hey, shaka bra." I don't think he said any of that. That seems
no, but in my mind he did. And maybe when I officially introduce him, he will. His name is Justin Wu, and Justin is the head of growth at CoinCircle. They are a company that tokenizes the world by migrating established high quality companies into the future of a blockchain based decentralized token economy. One of their clients was Unicoin Gold, and the guy's an information architect, and now he's a marketer and founder of Growth.ly. He likes to use Snapchat to talk about his entrepreneurship. He's worked with the Wall Street Journal, collaborated with the Consumer Electronics Show, which is coming up in Las Vegas in a very, very short time. And he's founded a bunch of different companies, including one that was invested in by Warner Brothers. The company was Side Vision, and he's here to talk all things delicious, delectable blockchain with us. Welcome to the Bad Crypto Podcast, Mr. Justin Wu.
Awesome. Thanks again, guys, for having me on.
So in my mind, I was right. You were kind of like, "Hey, Bad Crypto, what up?"
Kind of. I mean, I'm in Santa Monica, so
yeah,
by the beach. Not too far off.
Very nice. Our good friend, John Ferrara, who founded Nimble, and he also founded Goldmine, the original CRM. He's right out there in wonderful Santa Monica as well. Beautiful place.
Yeah, I'm a fan of his products, too. So
Tell us a little bit about your background and how you found yourself going down the blockchain rabbit hole.
Yeah. So I've been a startup entrepreneur and founder, founded a lot of different startups in the past, from SaaS companies to agencies. Really started my entrepreneurship career at the age of 12 with my first eBay business, selling magic cards, Pokemon cards, all the fun stuff there.
And he's just 13 now, Travis. Can you believe it?
So amazing. Dude, what a career already.
28 now. But so I've just been building a lot of apps and stuff for the past years. And what I knew, or what I found out, was it didn't matter how good of a product and service I could build if nobody knew about it, right? And so that's when I started just building these apps and companies, where I really had to learn about marketing and growth hacking before growth hacking was a term. And that's kind of where it got me down the path, where I initially tried to study a lot about computer science, ended up going to the University of Washington for information architecture. It's a kind of more smaller, brand new degree where it combines computer science, cognitive science, and data science together. So we're like the middleman between business people and computers, computer scientists, the translators.
So you speak nerd and business.
Business and also users. So that's the customers, users. That's the most important component too. The middleman architect, or the information systems architect, essentially. What I learned, and it just so happened to apply all those principles for marketing. It's no different. You have to understand the product level, both on the technical as well as any of the actual business side, and then what the consumers want as well. And so that's how it kind of went into like a natural progression into marketing. Because I did learn a little bit more on the software engineering side, I was able to start writing my own scripts, scraping and collecting data, and then utilizing that data in meaningful ways. And that's when the term growth, or growth marketing, growth hacking came out to be during those times in Silicon Valley. In terms of like the blockchain space, though, yeah, I've been doing a lot of marketing for the past few years, specifically around Kickstarters. So I did a Kickstarter campaign where raised anywhere from like $2.5 million in 30 days for a tablet-like product, and then other kind of 6 to 7 figure Kickstarters. And so I've had the experience of running campaigns where I had to utilize a lot of the different marketing channels and traction channels to kind of help with the pre-launch, sale, and post-launch. And so that became a natural skill set that fit in kind of the token crowd sale marketplace. And I've always been a fan of crypto since kind of like the early Dogecoin days, when I was doing a lot of mining during those times. So it's all kind of like put together in the past year, for me to kind of just go all in on working in the crypto and blockchain space.
Oh, that's beautiful. I mean, so if you have in the background with doing these Kickstarters and, Indiegogo type projects, because you've had some pretty good success in helping grow those, moving into the blockchain ICO space just seemed to be sort of a natural transformation for you. It's kind of one of the paths that I've been on. I mean, I've been a marketer now for like 20 years, but I've always paid attention to where the puck is heading, right? Mm-hmm. And so as I'm a marketing technologist by trade, but I've also done a lot of growth hacking and help people with their, grow their businesses. I have an agency in Kansas City, but this whole blockchain space is just such a fascinating area. And what I've noticed is a lot of the marketing technologists that have been around for the last 5-10 years or so, they're starting to focus on one particular area. Like one might focus on AI, they're focusing on chatbots, they're focusing on AR, VR, and then blockchain was the one that was the most interesting to me, because here we are with all of these companies that are cash rich and marketing poor. Most of them don't even have a marketer on their team at all, right?
Yeah. And if they do have one, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's one of those things. So what are some of the things that you've seen that's worked when you're helping these ICOs, or when you're helping CoinCircle sort of gain traction? What are some of the things that you like to look at when you're working with these companies, and what are some of the things that you like to do to help them grow?
Yeah, I mean, it's same with any type of, whether it be blockchain or crypto related companies to Kickstarters. It's all about understanding the three phases, especially if you're doing a new token from the ground up. You have to build up the community first, build up the list, build up interest, generate the brand awareness, and then start kind of like storytelling with content marketing, really talking about the founders, communicating weekly with live stream videos, etc. Storytelling, really, to build up that audience and understand what you're trying to build and build up that trust. And then moving to the actual sale phase, you have to keep the communication strong and even post as well, where you even see a lot of tokens fall flat. It's like, just because you collected money, that's just the start of the whole process, and you want to build long-term value and really build up a brand. And that's where I saw the opportunity, whether it be for Kickstarters or crypto-related projects. A lot of projects don't have a marketer, as you said, or they have, you know, some weird marketing going on. And I wanted to kind of just bring in kind of my industry actual expertise into this field and level up kind of the marketing, how marketing is done, and not in like a marketing way, but an over promotional way, but in a more organic way where we're creating meaningful content and meaningful stories to then really push and build a community around whatever projects we're working on.
You know, as marketers, I'm all about storytelling, and I like when people think outside of the normal and do guerrilla marketing, right? It's marketing done unusually so that it gets attention. So maybe point out something that, you know, you've worked with in the blockchain space, you've had success with, and you can name a particular company, perhaps a campaign, a project, that an idea that was executed really well and did the trick.
So there's a lot of different angles to go about it, and each kind of token kind of has its own different highlights. It's not just one single channel, and that's where we're seeing a lot of, on the business people side, people are kind of falling flat. They think just because they hire a PR agency and they get listed on a publication, that's it. They're done. That's actually only the start. It's one thing to get featured, which is kind of one big hurdle to get through, but also is how can you get that message across and distribute that on all the different crypto community forums and chat groups and Telegram groups. It has to be organic in a sense. You can't just kind of go out and just spam it out there at all. So the way that we like to think about things is, let's say Unicorn Gold, we had like a big announcement of them, MGM partnering with Unicorn and Unicorn Gold, bringing esports into casinos, which is a big news. So with a story point like that, we then look at where can we distribute this in all the crypto communities. Obviously, the crypto community is kind of like segmented in each of those buckets, from like Telegram, Facebook groups to Rocket Chat to Slack, Reddit. We have to have a strategy that is kind of building not a single distribution channel, but more like an omnipresent strategy, because we have to push on all edges, because sometimes some things might not resonate on a single channel, or, you know, on a single place, or if it's maybe bad timing, just because like something else is dominating the news feed, like a whatever it is happening that day in the crypto land. And so we kind of want to just like generate as much awareness across the board.
Right on. I recall Unicorn Gold. It's different than Unicorn Gold. I noticed Unicorn Gold, that is toilet spray.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Unicorn.
Thanks for clarifying that, Travis, because I was getting confused.
It was very confusing. I was like, wow. So, but Mark Cuban backed Unicorn, right?
Yeah. It's Mark Cuban backed and Ashton Kutcher backed the Unicorn, which is the main company, and it's an esports betting token. And it was a natural fit to tokenize that business because they've already had hundreds of millions of transactions going through on the betting platform. And for them, you know, we helped them through that whole tokenization process and get that out there.
That was, I guess, right when Mark Cuban says, oh, I guess this cryptocurrency stuff's not a scam after all, you guys. Hey, you guys, it's not bad, I guess. I remember he retracted that. He likes the Bitcoins now. So that's fun. So tell us a little bit about, you know, community, because I think that's one thing that we notice. Like we have, you know, we do a lot of these ICO chats, and this is not one. This is actually an interview, but when we do our ICO spotlight chats, we always want to know about what problem do they solve? You know, how is their technology and their timeline? What does it look like? What does their team look like? What does the token do? But one thing that we don't always talk about is their community. But I think a lot of times the community could be one of the key factors in the success of one of these tokens, because they're so, you know, if you go to look at one of their Telegrams and they have like 13 people in there, there's a chance that coin's probably not going to be so good. So what are some of the things that you do when you're working with these different companies to sort of help activate and engage and grow those communities?
Yeah. So it's streamlining the full communication process from collecting. Well, if you have an email list, build up that email list. Make sure you guys have a hosted blog. A lot of tokens like to utilize Medium as their blog, which doesn't really make the most sense to me. on the marketing standpoint, just because, you know, that's not your traffic and there's no real like call to actions that you can really build into the Medium site. It's a great kind of like publishing social network, but I always would utilize Medium as a secondary. And the whole idea though is you want to streamline the email communications to the social posts, to the blog posts, to the Telegram channels. And whenever you do have these story points or updates, you're just syndicating that across all the channels at the same time. Because again, like we've seen it where if your Twitter account isn't up to date and that's only where people go for their source of information or news about what's going on in updates, then they're going to judge you on that based on you not communicating and you not being active.
Don't judge me. Don't judge me.
Twitter's all you need, right? I mean, that's all true news there. That's all legitimate. File under not. As of this recording, the big Bitcoin Cash on Coinbase debacle just happened last night. And I'm not exactly sure when we're going to air this, but just to give context to it, this is pretty fresh. And I want to get your opinion on the whole Bitcoin Bcash thing and where you think it's headed.
So it's been very interesting for sure. And I've always been hearing from both sides of the table for that. I think that, you know, obviously the more Bitcoin purists will definitely hate it. And most of the community doesn't like it. I'm always somebody that looks at things from a marketing standpoint. I think that Bitcoin Cash has enough like ammo, both in terms of like firepower of cash and marketing budget to spend and generate hype for better or for worse. And so because of that, I think that it can continue to drive that. I mean, like Roger Ver and crew are not backing down on pushing that out. And obviously getting on Coinbase is a big push. I see the overall, like the in 2000, closing 2017 to 2018, we're going to see a lot more institutional money come into play. And so I think that Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash are going to both thrive.
You think they could coexist, that it's not a matter of one, you know, a flipping happening and Bitcoin, you know, goes down to nothing and Bitcoin Cash is everything.
Yeah. I think they can coexist. Same with, you know, whether it be like Ethereum or other blockchain platforms. I think they're going to duke it out. And I think everybody is kind of incentivized to kind of duke it out to prove that their platform is better. But the only way to really do that is come down to whether they can attract more developers, actually push more development on whatever token or platforms that they're building and really create that differentiation. You know, right now, since most, you know, ICOs and tokens haven't really launched many products out there, 2018 is going to be very interesting. Hopefully we'll see a lot more maturity come into the space where we'll actually see meaningful development, real scaling technologies and protocol level upgrades as well. And this is, you know, just in the whole general sense, not even just like Bitcoin Cash or Bcash, however you want to look at it.
No, it's called Bcash. That's what we have.
It's not Bcash.
Shut up, Joel. It's Bcash. Okay. I have a question around blockchains for you in general, right? Yeah. So, I mean, as I find this endlessly fascinating by going to blocktivity.info and then I can look at the capacity utilization index of these different blockchains to see how much of their daily activity is equal to their total blockchain capacity. Right. And so that's what this Blocktivity thing shows. And right now, you know, Steam, which is that, you know, Steam, which is that one website, social media site, it has over 1 million transactions today and it's running at 0.36 of 1% of its total capacity. Then you have Ethereum that has 983,000 transactions. Right now it's sitting at 100% blockchain capacity with 17,000 unconfirmed transactions. And you have Bitcoin that's sitting with 195,000 unconfirmed transactions, 100% blockchain capacity. Bitcoin Cash is sitting at 127,000 transactions today, but it's sitting at 5% of its capacity, right? And as that grows, those numbers change. And I think that there's a problem with that. And so that's why I think, you know, Steam and BitShares, we had Stan Larimer on an episode recently, and we were talking about how, you know, Dan built all of those and he's built EOS to sort of have this scalability. Yep. So what are some of the blockchains that are sort of upcoming that are interesting to you? Because I mean, I know you have your finger and your thumb on the pulse of all of these, but there's some that are popping up that I find that are interesting that I've started to invest in, but I'm curious, what are some of those non-mainstream blockchains that you think have a big future potentially?
Yeah, honestly, I'm looking at all the blockchain platforms, especially the new emerging ones too, because I think right now we're going to see a continued arms race or a big push to find those scaling solutions. And there could be multiple winners, right? I know that Ethereum is kind of maxed out too, but Ethereum does have probably like 10, you know, protocol level projects and tokens that are going to be, that are being worked on right now from, you know, that, so this is going to come, but it's going to come in like a couple, you know, anywhere from 1 to 5 years. But other blockchain platforms though, there's a lot from like NEO, EOS, Lisk, Cardano, a brand new one that I just found out recently was Zilliqa, Z-I-L-I-Q-A. And they can do 2,500 transactions on their test net on just a few nodes so far as well. So these are all really interesting. The way that I personally look at it, like I'm not going to be too emotional about it. Like I like to spread my bets. I mean, like if you're betting in operating systems like Apple, Android, and Windows and Microsoft, like they all kind of can coexist. And they can all kind of solve different things too. So, you know, it's very interesting to see these new developments or new platforms kind of emerge. And we even saw like about a week ago, the Kick ICO is moving away from the Ethereum network to Stellar.
Yep.
Stellar. Yeah. So we can see that there is potential that where people can start jumping off into another blockchain if it's, it comes out as a winner. But now looking at, you know, and seeing all these transactions from being clogged up and who isn't clogged up with like Steam and BitShares being super strong, you know, for me, I'm very keen and been following a lot of EOS lately just because they've been, you know, pushing up their development. Well, it's been proven from Steam and BitShares that some real big advancements can be done in terms of activity. You know, time will tell in terms of like which of these blockchain platforms will thrive in 2018.
There's a lot of different opinions on this particular question I'm going to ask you right now. And that is regarding all of the different tokens that are coming out with all these different utilities. I've heard some people say that, you know, 10 years down the road, don't be surprised if there's, you know, tens of thousands, if not 100,000 or more different tokens. And then there's others that are saying, nope, everything is going to be tokenized around just, you know, a few. Most of these are not going to succeed. What does your crystal ball say?
I'd say it's too early to tell right now where things are headed. I mean, I do see a lot of tokens are coming out for specific use cases within industries. Some are more bigger plays like big platforms or a big platform for industry. Like, you know, some people are trying to tag up the full cannabis industry or just small specific transactions. Right now, to me, it's like too early to call a decision right now. I think the market will play out and see whether we're going to have a lot of tokens, if people can handle that.
You can't handle the tokens.
Or, you know, it's going to be crazy. But once we have that, like everything's tokenized, like use your toilet. It's going to have its own token.
The poop coin. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Pumoji would be the symbol on the coin.
Yeah, it could be. But I think, though, you know, things will probably consolidate eventually to some sort of more standardized tokens because for more like mass broad adoption, obviously, most consumers won't be able to keep up or understand all these different tokens. So probably the best ones will be still there. A lot of tokens will be happening, but more like invisible behind the background by running whatever transactions they need to.
Nice. I want to ask about this then, sort of a follow up from the other question then about Bitcoin Cash, et cetera, et cetera. Right. We've all seen the different people thinking that Bitcoin's going to be $100,000, $50,000 next year, $1 million mm-hmm. eventually. Now, certain people have different thoughts on where it's headed. Now, you know, it looks as if Bitcoin does not figure out its scaling issues and come to agreement with the developers and get some consensus on how to scale Bitcoin effectively, a lot of that wealth would seem to me to start pouring off into some of these other ones. Now, what do you think what's going to happen in the next year? I mean, because we could see Bitcoin's hit almost 20,000. Do we think it's going to keep going up? Do we think it, I mean, because in theory, it makes sense to me as more of this 200 trillion of paper fiat money pours into the crypto space, then the crypto market overall and all these coins are going to rise. But does that mean that Bitcoin's going to continue to rise? I don't know. If they don't figure out their scaling problems, I think they're going to have a challenge in trying to reach those $1 million marks that people were talking about. What do you think?
Yeah. So I believe that, yeah, if they don't fix any of the issues of scaling and, you know, the transaction fees are just nuts for even small transactions, then it will hinder Bitcoin in general. You know, a lot of the people that I see talk to in my circles, you know, we kind of just see Bitcoin as being that big store of value like gold. It has that brand name recognition. And that will, you know, if they don't solve their issues, that does incentivize Bitcoin, Bcash, to try to outpace them. But, you know, we'll see if they actually pull that off, or these other like five plus forks coming about too. So, I mean, that's the nature of the market to try to outpace or try to out innovate and really take that the reins away from Bitcoin. And also too, like I think that it might not be like a single flippening. It could be multiple fronts flippening. Like let's say EOS, Ethereum, Cardano, etc., Lisk, Neo. They really figure out some sort of more scaling and more use cases. Then they can all start chipping away from the main Bitcoin value, so to speak, because they're going to start opening the floodgates of money and transactions. If they can get up to the Visa level of transactions, that's going to be game changing. And those valuations will skyrocket too. So I think that Bitcoin's not going to die. I think it might increase in price per coin just because you know, the difficulty for mining and scarcity is going to keep increasing. However, I think that with more new tokens and new future tokens that are coming out in the future, there could be more disruption coming off if they don't figure things out.
Mm. What about Charlie Lee? Charlie sold all of his Litecoin. Litecoin. And posted the reason why he was doing it. I have my take on it, but I'm not the guest. You are. What's your, just to set the stage, Charlie sold all his Litecoin and made a tweet that I'm not finding at the moment, but essentially gave the reason why he was doing it, that he didn't want to be emotionally attached to the ups and downs, that he's got plenty of money, and that he wanted to really focus on the development of Litecoin. Did I get that right?
That was definitely surprising news to me today too, and I didn't really have much to think about it quite yet. I mean, Charlie's been really ramping up his personal brand and messaging for the past like month. I think that's really what helped a lot of the blitz of Litecoin too. Recently, he's really upped the. Well, I know for sure that Litecoin has upped the marketing. They've openly solicited for marketers, and you know, I got referred a lot to potentially work on that, and I didn't. That's not something I was looking to do. But I know they're looking for growth hackers and marketers. And after that, they did a big push on the marketing and promotion side. And that really helped Litecoin catch back.
He tweeted afterwards, the Litecoin team has been hard at work working with companies to support Litecoin. Nothing to announce yet, but here's what it's in the works. Merchant processor, popular online wallet, goods trading platform, one huge unexpected surprise with a smiley face. 2018 will be a good year for Litecoin. So he says nothing to announce, but he's kind of announcing, here's what's coming.
Yeah, I was doing the pre-announcement. But yeah, I mean, the way that I always look at signals like the whole grand scheme of things, again, like if a big group or organization has a lot of dollars behind it or a lot of backing, especially a community too, and they start pushing on it, then that's when you're going to see real big growth. And that's what Litecoin did. Bitcoin Cash obviously did that however they wanted to as well. And that did a big push on the price too. Same thing with like Cardano too. Cardano really activated a strong marketing and PR campaign to really like push it out there as well. So I think that Litecoin is starting to heat up. And I always take that as a positive signal, at least on the price, because they're going to really like start, you know, pushing out a lot of updates, awareness, potentially products, and, you know, they're ready to go. Same thing with like EOS has also been doing that too.
Yeah, that's fascinating stuff. So let's talk real quick as we're winding down on the interview here about CoinCircle. You know, what exactly is CoinCircle, and what are you working on over there?
Yeah, so Unicorn Gold is our first token project, and we're working on several other tokens as well, similar to that size. We're working with actual established businesses. They have to have a customer base. There needs to be a real use case for creating and tokenizing their businesses. The founders and the founding team should have a lot of skin in the game too. It's usually venture-backed post-revenue companies where working up to even like enterprise level projects. Those are not announced quite yet, and they'll kind of be announced in the next probably Q1, Q2. But we're focusing heavily right now on those big enterprise level and kind of more established companies right now. And as we are doing that, we are building out and rolling out our internal products as well. One of the projects that we just acquired was ICO Stats, which was a big ICO stat tracker website. And so we're going to be building our own exchange, our own wallet, building our own kind of community and media kind of channel as well to just build kind of more consumer facing products as we go with what we're building. So we have two sides of the businesses. One's is focusing on more of the B2B side and enterprise tokenization, and then more like internal products that we're going to start deploying for consumers as well.
Justin Wu, is the future so bright you got to wear shades?
Thanks.
It's all just getting started,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's just, 2018 is, I think we're going to be seeing a lot more interesting things coming out with like security tokens. Hopefully T0 maybe does something interesting, and we're going to see more bigger players for sure come into play. And that should just more legitimize the space, bring more institutional money. To me, understanding what's going on in the business side of blockchain and what's going on behind the scenes is just really, exciting.
Right on. I have one final question. For our audience, right? Because our audience is full of a lot of newbies, right? These are people who are just now trying to figure out crypto. They're trying to figure out blockchain. They're trying to understand what it all is. What are maybe some words of wisdom that you would give our listeners if they are just now getting started into crypto? How do they begin to start dissecting this, aside obviously from listening to the Bad Crypto Podcast?
Yeah. I would always say go in order to get educated, you have to have multiple sources of information and kind of knowledge share. It could be through listening to podcasts like the amazing Bad Crypto. It could be going out, going to Facebook groups, Telegram groups, reading books, YouTubing. I personally, like if I land into like a word that I might not know of, like proof of stake, I don't know if I didn't know about it, then I'm going to go Google it. If I hear like new tokens, new coins, I'm going to go search and do my research about it and make my own decisions after learning. You're going to see a lot of big influx of a lot of just noise and information out there. In terms of where you should learn about crypto or blockchain, I would always start out with understanding what blockchain technology is first, by whether going on YouTube and then getting into a deeper dive and really understanding what's going on in the overall space by asking some of other peers as well to build up kind of your community and network and reference points, especially if somebody is getting like daily signals or daily information. They might be a good go-to person.
All good info and good advice. Justin Wu, you guys can check him out on LinkedIn. He's actually reworking his website right now. But on LinkedIn, just look up Justin C. Wu, W-U is the way you spell it. And Justin, thanks again for your time today. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks again for having me, guys.
And thanks again, Justin, for your time and for coming to the show. You know, Travis, we have so many cool guests coming up. And I think we mentioned earlier that John McAfee has said yes to appearing on Bad Crypto.
That's phenomenal. You know what? So I used to be the global digital strategist for Symantec. And so John McAfee, he founded McAfee Security, which is, kind of a competitor of Symantec. So that'll be fun. So I'm going to ask some pretty strong questions around security. How do people can remain more secure in this crypto world? Because this is a whole new world and there's hackers trying to hack in ways that we hadn't even thought of. And luckily they're hacking me first. So we get to tell you guys all about it. So it's so exciting.
Travis Wright, getting hacked so you don't have to. That's how it rolls. And we're going to have to get a box of tissues for you, Travis. Anyhow, would love to hear from you guys. Go to badcryptopodcast.com, click the contact us link, and that's where you can reach out with questions or if you're interested in sponsoring the Bad Crypto Podcast or doing some sort of partnership with us, or if you're interested in having either Travis, myself, or both of us speak at a event to teach blockchain, because we actually know enough now that we're getting asked to go speak at some pretty major events on this topic. Maybe we're not so bad anymore.
It's pretty mediocre. Soon. We're the mediocre crypto podcast.
The mediocre. Yeah, we may have to rebrand ourselves the mediocre crypto podcast.
Somewhat decent. And then the somewhat decent.
Not horrible.
Not horrible.
just below subpar. Mm-hmm.
Almost decent.
Well, hopefully you guys are learning a little bit about crypto as well. And from the looks of the comments we're getting, it sounds like it's mission accomplished.
I think they want to invite us this next year to their Thanksgiving dinner. Pretty sure they're like, Joel or Travis, if you'd like to invite us to your Thanksgiving dinner in 2018, let us know.
But just one of us at a time. Because you can't handle the whole brand.
It would cost extra for both of us. Two turkeys.
Stay bad.
Who's bad?
The Bad Crypto Podcast is a production of Bad Crypto LLC. The content of the show, the videos, and the website is provided for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes only. It's not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, or trading advice of any kind. You shouldn't make any decisions as to finances, investing, trading, or anything else based on this information without undertaking independent due diligence and consultation with a professional financial advisor. Please understand that the trading of Bitcoin and alternative cryptocurrencies have potential risks involved. Anyone wishing to invest in any of the currencies or tokens mentioned on this podcast should first seek their own independent professional financial advisor.
Perfect. Yeah, let's get into this. That was awesome. Hold on. Yes, let's do that. Let's go ahead and get it going. Nope, that sucked too. Let's get started, folks. That was also horrible. Okay.